This morning's message, we're about to embark on a new year, 2019, and I'm praying, and what my prayer is for me, my family, for this church, is it to be a great year, 2019, to be a blessing, prosperous year for in all ways, and that's going to be the basis of my message. It's a new year, it's a fresh start. That's the way to look at it. Now, inherently, there's nothing special about January 1st compared to the other days of the year, but we celebrate the new year. A lot of people make new starts. They write, you know, their list of resolutions that they rarely ever keep, but they make at least make an attempt. Let's look at this. Anyone know who this guy is? And maybe this will help. Right, Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers, and especially in the 50s and the 60s. Now, in 1961, in the first day of training camp, and back then they only had 38 players on the whole team. Now it's like double that, probably at least. But they met for the first day of training camp. The previous season, they had made it all the way to the Super Bowl. Not, they didn't have the Super Bowl yet. They made it all the way to the NFL championship game and were winning in the fourth quarter and then ended up blowing it and losing to the Philadelphia Eagles. And so you could imagine the whole offseason, the team, the coaches, everybody's thinking about what can they do in this upcoming season? What little tweak can they make to the team? What maybe they could add another one or two players to help them get over the hump, or maybe they can add a new scheme in their offense, or whatever the case may be. And they met that first training camp. But Vince Lombardi, if you know anything about him, he never took anything for granted. And what he did was he began a tradition in 1961 at that training camp, a tradition for the Packers of starting from scratch. And what he did, he started by taking a football and holding it up and telling his team, gentlemen, this is a football. Right? They're all thinking, okay, all right, we know that. His point was, I'm going to go back to the basics. We're going to go back. We're going to master the fundamentals of football. We're going to master tackling. We're going to master throwing and catching and blocking. And we're going to get these fundamentals, and we're going to do them better than any other team out there. Now, if you know anything about the Packers in the 60s, they're one of the most dominant, if not they were the most dominant football team of that era. 6 months later, after that opening training camp, they won the NFL championship, beating the New York Giants 37-0. Okay? And that was the beginning, that season was the beginning of Vince Lombardi's reign as one of, if not the greatest football coach, or at least professional football coach of all time. He'd win 5 NFL championships in 7 years. And 3 in a row, and he never coached a team with a losing record. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be great. Now, the pattern of focusing on the basics is not just limited to Vince Lombardi. There are other coaches, famous coaches, if you've ever heard of John Wooden, who was the coach of the UCLA Bruins. They won 11 national basketball championships in a row. At one time, he's considered probably the greatest basketball, at least a college basketball coach. He even took it a step further. He didn't just teach. He didn't just hold up a basketball and say this is a basketball. He actually taught his players how to put their socks on correctly, how to tie and lace up their shoes the way that he wanted them to, the way he thought was the best way to do it. So he went way to the basics. Also, if you ever heard of Phil Jackson, he was the coach of the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls basketball team when Michael Jordan was on that team. Then he was the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. They won a bunch of championships in Chicago. He won a bunch in LA. And his philosophy, a lot of it was going back to the basics, getting the basics correct. And It's not just sports. It's not just football. It's not just basketball that we can learn this strategy and make it useful. We can use this strategy in every area of our life, right? We can use it in our how we function as a family, going back to the basics. We can use it as in our marriage, use it in our church, okay? We're beginning a new year, 2019, and it's good to, you know, we've done a lot of stuff in 2018, but it's good to think about what are the basics as we begin this new year that we should be focusing on as we transition to this new year. Because if we focus on the fundamentals, it will influence the results that we have. If we just focus on the details without focusing on the fundamentals, we're not going to go anywhere. We're not really going to accomplish anything. It's focusing on those fundamentals. That is the key. So without the fundamentals, the details are useless. Okay? But with the fundamentals, the little gains that we'll make will add up to something very significant. So, again, this is a football. Throwing this to Sean. He's catching it. Touchdown. Now, so let's start talking about this is a Bible. Here we go. No, we're not throwing it. Let's look at the book of 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. Says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." That is my prayer. I think God laid that on me years ago. It's been one of my key scriptures, but he's really, I think, dealt with me and laid this on my heart as my prayer for Pebble Creek for 2019. This is John, obviously the apostle, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, but it's the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for the individual or the individuals that John wrote to. This is for the church. And it's not just for the church in the first century. I believe this is for every Christian, every church, every group of believers down through the ages, including us today. This is a prayer for every believer. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Amen. You know what I like to do? I like to take scripture and personalize it. Okay, so I didn't put it up there personalized, but I like saying, like, I pray that I may prosper in all things and be in health just as my soul prospers. Or I might pray for my family. I pray that my family prospers in all things and be in health just as our souls prosper. And you can do it as a church. So let's do it as a church. Let's pray this together. Beloved, we pray that we may prosper in all things and be in health just as our souls prosper. And I like how the Amplified amplifies this verse, okay? It says, "Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically just as I know your soul prospers spiritually." There's like I look at this verse like it's connected. Some people, this in 2019, when they make their resolutions or whatever, their goals, a lot of it's going to be centered around, I like to, you know, whatever. I like to get a promotion. I like to make more money. I like a bigger house. I like this, that, the other thing. That's getting the priorities mixed up. Because I think, according to this verse, if you will focus on your spiritual health, if you focus, again, we're going to be talking about the fundamentals. If you focus on growing spiritually in 2019, then all those other things that we would like to have will come along with it, right? To walk in health is a greater blessing, in my opinion, than being healed, right? It's great to be healed, but I think it's greater never to get sick in the first place. And this verse says, "Beloved, I pray that in every way," let's start there, "in every way, you may succeed and prosper in every way." That doesn't leave anything out. John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, I pray that you would succeed financially, that you would succeed in your relationships, that you would succeed emotionally in every way and prosper and be in good health physically. I believe that's God's will for us to be in good health. Now, we have a part to play. You can't just eat whatever you want, never exercise, never get the right amount of sleep, and then expect God just to supernaturally bless you anyway. this is the temple, right? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have an obligation and responsibility to take care of them, right? But God designed our bodies to heal itself. So I know he's a God that's the healer. He designed our bodies to heal. And it says, though, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. So if we focus, again, 2019, we're going to focus on these fundamentals. If you will do this, if you'll focus on this, you will grow spiritually. Your soul will prosper. And as a result of that, other areas in your life will prosper. I believe that. Matthew 6, 31 to 33, I think backs this up. Jesus himself says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? Don't worry about those things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. God knows what your needs are. He already knows that you need certain things to survive in this world. He knows that you need those things. And he's a God, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He will provide those things. But there's a key here. The next verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You seek spiritual things first. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and then all those other things will come with it. But don't get it backwards. Don't put the cart before the horse. Focus on the spiritual growth this year. Going back to the basics, the fundamentals. Focus on those things, those spiritual fundamentals, and you will have a fantastic 2019. I believe that. Now, also, Romans 14, we might think, okay, what does it mean? Seek first, put the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Romans 14, 17 through 19, says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Right? It's not about focusing on those things. That's not what's important. That's not the things that we're supposed to get our eyes set on. He says the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom. Verse 18 says, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. He who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. And then in verse 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Right? We're looking to Christ. We're focusing on him and his will for us. It's his kingdom. He is the king of the kingdom. And we are a part of that kingdom, but he has certain things that he wants us to focus on. And we can begin in 2019 focusing on those things that he wants us to focus on. Because we can get distracted. It's real easy in today's culture to be distracted. Phones, smartphones can distract us, right? We want to check our emails even while I'm preaching. We want to see what this, that, the other thing. Sometimes we get distracted even by the Bible in front of us, because I might have read a verse, you really enjoyed that verse, you start reading the rest of the chapter, and everything else I say is in one ear out the other. I love the fact you're reading the Bible, but let's pay attention just for a little bit, for a few minutes. Okay, now how are you going to put God first in 2019? How are you going to put God first? A lot of that has to do with pruning some things. Now, I am not I don't grow anything, really, except nose hair, apparently, because it makes my nose itch. But from the little bit I understand about pruning, pruning isn't cutting off just the dead branches. It's also cutting off healthy branches that are sucking the resources that help that plant be healthier. So there might be a lot of good things that you did in 2018, but if you're spread so thin and doing all these many, many things, it prevents you from focusing on the really, really important things and giving all your focus, attention, and passion into those few things. They're not bad things, and it's something that each of us need to pray about, need to go to God about. talk with people that we trust about? What can we drop? What can we stop doing and just focus on these important things? So let's start. If there's one thing that you do differently, there's one thing. I'm going to talk about four things, but if there's one thing that you do differently in 2019, let's start with prayer. Okay? Prayer. If you will pray more and be more focused and spend more time with the Lord in prayer in 2019, I guarantee you're going to have a better 2019 than 2018. If you do one thing, just bump up your devotion in prayer with God. Spend more time with Him this coming year than you ever have before, and you're going to have a great year. I guarantee it. Not an easy year. I'm not saying that you're not going to have any difficulties, any problems, but you're never going to regret the time that you spent with God. He will help you get through. He'll prepare you for challenges that you might face in 2019. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. And then the last part of that verse, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So let's back up, if you could, back up to the verse 7. Blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord. Who trusts in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty hard for me to trust someone that I don't know very well. If we want to trust God more in 2019, it takes establishing an intimate relationship. If we get to know God more in 2019 by spending time with Him, then we will trust Him even more. And then it says, whose hope is the Lord. If you want to have greater hope in this coming year, get to know God. He's the God of all hope. He will fill your hearts and your spirits, your souls with hope. Even when things look dark, even when things don't look right, if we're spending time with the Lord, then we will trust Him and we'll have hope. It'll be restored, it'll be strong. Verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots. If you want your roots to go deep, spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time, some quality time with Him. Planted by the water, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. When that trial, whatever it is, comes at you in this coming year, it could be a financial dilemma, it could be a relationship problem, it could be a health issue, whatever it might be, if your roots are strong in the Lord, you will not fear when that comes. You will not fear. And then it says in the next part of that verse, but its leaf will be green, healthy. It will remain healthy. It will not be anxious. You won't worry. The more you can't worry if you're trusting in God. They don't go together. They're complete opposites. If we're worrying, we're told, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. So if you start worrying about something, take it to the Lord. Spend time with Him. Then it says, you won't be anxious if in the year of drought. The stock market's been crazy this last month especially. I don't know what 2019 holds. But just in the fact of the economy, even if we go into a recession, I'm believing we're not going to go into a recession, but even if we did, if you're connected and your roots are deep in Christ and God, it won't matter. You won't fear. You won't be anxious. You won't worry. Nor will you cease from yielding fruit. You will continue to be fruitful. You'll continue to be productive for the kingdom. Right? So as we spend time in prayer, now prayer, again, simply is just talking with God. And it's not you doing all the talking. It's communicating. It's talking to God, making your requests known, laying out your fears or whatever's troubling you, but it's also listening. Be a good listener when you're in prayer. Almost, and that's difficult. I understand that you're just sitting there in quietness. But God says, be still and know that I'm the Lord. Sometimes he just wants us to be still before him. And because I'm telling you, in today's environment, today's culture, we're constantly running around. We constantly want to be busy. We got a million things to do. But God just wants some time with us. Just be still. Relax. Be in his presence. And pray in your heavenly language. Make 2019, determine right now, you're going to be praying more in your spiritual language than you ever have before. It's really important in the days we live in to build up our spirits for other benefits, but pray in the spirit and make it a regular daily habit. Regular daily habit. Like any relationship that you want to get stronger, you have to spend time with that person. You want a strong marriage? You have to spend time with your spouse. You want a strong family? You have to spend time with your kids. And so set aside, even if you have to write it on your calendar, on your appointment book, I'm spending time with the Lord. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to say you have to do an hour a day. But maybe last year you only did, it was sporadic, you know, and it's fine. We know we can pray at all times. We can pray while we're driving to work. We can pray at all different times. But I'm talking about having a devoted time where it's just you and the Lord. There's no distractions. You don't have your phone with you. You don't have a computer with you. You don't have another book with you. It's just you and God. And it could be for 10 minutes. But make that appointment every day and keep that appointment. And you will have a blessed 2019. You cannot be blessed if you're not spending, or I'll say this, it's harder for God to bless you if you don't want to spend time with him. If you've allowed all these other things that, because what are you saying? These other things are more important. It's like our giving, right? We believe in tithing and giving offerings, but if we're waiting until we pay all our bills and everything else, we're not really tithing the first fruits of what we've received. We're not being, at least not according biblically, what we should be doing. Again, focus. Fundamentals. I read various things about the surface of the sun, but what I could come up with, it's about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface of the sun. Yet by the time the light and the heat gets here, it doesn't set anything on fire unless you what? Focus it, right? I don't know if you ever tried to set ants on fire or as a kid or something with a magnifying glass. I don't know. I'm not recommending that. But what is that doing? That magnifying glass is focusing that heat and that light from the sun, and it sets things on fire. Not just bugs, but other things as well. Right? What is a laser? It's this focused light. Right? You can cut through metal if it's focused. And if we're focusing, that's the key. We got to focus. Again, no distractions. Right? And then the well of our spirit is going to be filled with God's presence, with his wisdom, with his power, with his plan going forward for each day, right? For each week. So again, Jeremiah, let's read it again, back up to verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Very important. Spend time. That's the first fundamental for the new year. Determine right now you're going to spend more time focused in prayer, in conversation, in time with God. Second fundamental. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Nowadays, it's real easy. You could be anywhere. If you have a smartphone, all of us probably have a Bible app. Or if you don't already, you should have a Bible app. YouVersion is the one I use. I have another one, but YouVersion is good. It has hundreds of Bible reading plans and all kinds. You could do a year-long plan. You can do a month-long. I mean, everything that you could imagine. You can find a plan that fits whatever your time schedule is or whatever that you want to accomplish. But we need to be reading the Bible every day. Even if it's one chapter. If you read one chapter a day, you would be able to read the entire New Testament in less than 9 months. And that's reading one chapter per day. Some of you maybe have never read the entire New Testament. Maybe you've never read the whole Bible. Make that your goal this year, that I'm going to read at least through the New Testament, and maybe throw in, since you have 3 months left, maybe you could throw in, you know, the Psalms or, you know, something. But make a determine right now. The way I remember this, when I wake up, I like to eat, but I have a little saying that now sticks in my head from Ray Comfort, if any of you know who that is, an evangelist. But he has a little saying, no read, no feed. No read, no feed. Meaning, don't eat, don't allow yourself to eat your physical food, nourishment, until you've eaten your spiritual nourishment. That one chapter or whatever it is that day. No read, no feed. Right? We need that spiritual food. More probably than we need or physical food. We need spiritual nourishment because it feeds our spirit. It feeds our spirit, and it helps us to become fruitful Christians. Now, I want to talk as we go to this third thing about fruitfulness. But, you know, sometimes when we think about, okay, I want to be successful or prosperous, and it's kind of, what does that mean? It means different things to different people. But if you'll think of success in 2019, use the word fruitfulness. I want to be fruitful for the kingdom, for God in 2019, and you'll be successful. If you're bearing good fruit, you will be successful, okay? But it has to do with your roots and the nourishment you're receiving. So let's go to number three. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about the Bible. Oh, did I skip a Bible verse that I wanted to read? Yes, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Let's go back. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what should I say there? I've known of people who have been going through relationship problems, even within my own family at times, and it seems like they receive a lot of their counsel from ungodly people. They're not receiving godly counsel. They're going to their friends from work. They're going to their friends and whoever, their neighbors, who are telling them, oh, yeah, you just need to leave that person. You need to give up on that. That's not godly wisdom. We need to be going to sources of godly wisdom. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay? We got that. Stay away from people that are want to encourage us to engage in sinfulness or unrighteousness or whatever. Got that. But here's the key for us in verse 2. So if we avoid that, but here's what we focus on. His delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. Right? Most of us eat probably at least twice a day, I would imagine. I eat a lot more, or maybe just bigger meals. But let's say you eat twice a day. Let's say you eat three times. Again, use that little thing, no read, no feed. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. Let's say you do that three times a day, three chapters. You'll read through the Bible in a year. Just doing that, just doing those simple things. You're going to get to the end of 2019, and whether you did these things or not is up to you. But 2019, unless the Lord comes, praise God, praying for the rapture of the church in 2019. But let's imagine we get to the end. What are you going to have? Is it going to be 2019 going to be a year where you've done more than you did in 2018 for God? Because that will be a successful year. That will be a good year. And reading the Bible is one of the keys to fruitfulness, getting the word inside of us. And now, let me go to number three. The third thing we need to focus on. So, prayer, reading the Bible. Let's talk about church attendance. It's sad, but like the average from the statistics and things that I've read. It used to be, even not even that long ago, maybe 10, 20 years ago, the average Christian would attend church about 3 to 4 times a month. That was on average. Now, from what I've read, it's down to 1 to 2 times a month. That's a problem. Now, there could be various reasons, and I don't want to go into the reasons, but look at Psalm 92, 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar. See, that's kind of the theme here. Growing, having strong roots, being a strong, healthy tree. Next verse, 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. In verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Right? What did it say, though, if we go back to verse 13? The key to that in verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. That has a lot to do with coming to church and being available to come to church, even church, some church functions, but primarily the worship services. Now at Pebble Creek, we have 3 services a week. We have a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, some of us, you know, if you come to each of those, that's a minimum in most months of 12 services. That's way beyond the 1 to 2 average. But if you just came to 1 or 2 of those, you're going to be way above the average. Don't be average. Be above average. If we want to flourish, right, we need to flourish because part of that is because we're faithful in our church attendance, of coming to church. We don't let distractions or excuses. Now, sometimes there's necessities, things come up. Kids get sick or whatever, but don't let excuses keep you from church. Make a determined 2019, I'm going to go to church more than I did in 2018. Okay, whatever more is for you, I'm going to be more involved at church. When we talk about agape love, right, that's a divine love that only God is a source of. Agape love. And it's only possible when we're in fellowship with Him and with other believers. That's when it's expressed. Okay? Now, who do you think wants to cause disunity and for us to be disconnected? Satan, the devil. He wants to sow seeds of discord and jealousy and all these negative things because he wants to pull us apart. God wants us, and His prayer is for us to be unified, to be together. Right? To be forgiving towards one another, to be loving towards one another, to be tender-hearted, to be a place of healing. This is a powerful thing that I heard another preacher say, but it goes along with this. He said, the place of agreement is the place of power. The place of unity is the place of authority. I'll say that again. The place of agreement is the place of power. And the place of unity is the place of authority. If let's again, break it down simplistic in your own relationships, your own families, with your own spouse. If you want to have power and authority manifest in your family, there has to be unity. There has to be unity. There has to be agreement in a family. If there's not unity, if there's disagreement and there's fights and there's arguing constantly, you're going to lack authority over your kids. You're going to lack power to get things done, to pray, to get your prayers answered. Look at Matthew 10. Let's go to Hebrews. I'll come back to this. When I'm talking about coming to church, this is what we're told. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's hard to consider one another and stir up love and good works if we're never around each other. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. See, this was a problem in the first century. There's nothing new. under the sun. They had the same problem. Christians weren't coming to church. And so they're saying, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner is of some, but exhorting one another. Church isn't all about what I can get when I come here. It's a lot of it has to do, who can I bless when I'm at church? Who can I say an encouraging word to? Who can I encourage today? It's looking outside ourselves and how we can be a blessing to other people. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day, I believe, is the return of Christ. I see that day approaching rapidly. And I know the rapture can happen. It's imminent. It can happen at any time. And so in the middle time, as we're waiting, as we're watching and looking for his return, we should be encouraging one another and looking for opportunities to gather so we can encourage one another. Now, let me go back to this next verse, Matthew 18, 19 and 20. It says, again, I say to you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I know there's all kinds of ways to kind of argue out of what that says and water it down. But if we just take it at face value, again, I say to you that if two of you, agreement is hard. And the devil will do anything possible to keep you not praying with your spouse, because as you pray together, then you come into agreement with each other and agreement with God and what his will is for your family. So he'll do everything possible to keep you from praying with each other. He'll keep you from praying in agreement with your church family if he can do it. And sometimes we allow that to happen. But it says, Jesus says, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask. Now, it's not anything evil. Like, if two of you want to rob a bank, I doubt that God's going to help you with that. But any good thing that's in according to God's will, if you agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, it doesn't tell you immediately will be done for them, but you can believe it will be done for them. And verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The importance of gathering together, even if it's a small crowd. I know sometimes Sunday night can be low, Wednesday night sometimes is low. Our prayer meetings are really low. Thank God for this verse where two or three are gathered. But he says there's power just when two people are in agreement over something. That's the power of agreement. And again, the place of agreement is the place of power. The place of unity is the place of authority. For your family, for your marriage, for our church. Okay? That's why the devil tries so hard to break up the unity and agreement. And as this church stays unified, we have a lot of incredible spiritual power at our fingertips. And in the community that we live in. A lot of influence. Number four, the fourth priority. So those, the first three, prayer. Number two was reading the Bible. Number three, going to church. Number four, let's talk about ministry. All of us should be in some ministry. It's not just for the pastors. Okay, it's not for the leaders of men's ministry or women's or whatever. It's every Christian has a calling in some type of ministry. What is your ministry? And that's something to find out. I've said this before. It was one of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain. The two greatest days in a man's life is the day he's born and the day he finds out why. Find out why you were born again. And the good works that God has established beforehand for you to do. Okay? But look at this. Ministry. We're going to talk about ministry. We're going to talk about serving. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as what? The love chapter. But let me read it in the King James, just this first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a clinking, tinkling cymbal. charity, right? When you read the King James, usually in place of love, it says charity, and that's been changed in a lot of modern translations. I'm not saying one is more correct than the other, but I actually, even like instead of the love chapter, it sounds better to say it's the charity chapter. It even sounds better to me, but the charity. Charity. When you think of charity, what do you think of? When I think of a charity, I think of an organization that does good things. They help the poor, they feed the hungry, they clothe, right, the homeless, they give them shelter. That's charity. So when I think of love, what it's talking about in that word is love in action. Putting love, putting action behind our words. Okay? We are meant to bring rivers of blessings to people. It's part of our role here on the earth. To do acts of kindness, acts of love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of life flowing from us, blessing other people. Fountains of life flowing out of us to bless those around us. You know, we're called to be builders within the church or partners, supporters of the house of God and the people of God. There's a lot of opportunities just in the church of our size. We're not the biggest church. Obviously, we're not the smallest church. Actually, when you look at the average size of a church in the United States, it's less than 100 people. We're kind of like in the top 70% of all churches as far as our size goes. But in a church, we have so many opportunities for you to be involved in ministry. Right? We've been asking for people to volunteer to be on the cleaning team. That is an opportunity to show love in action. When new people come to our church, when visitors come to our church, it is a blessing if they walk in and things are clean. The bathroom's clean. The floors are clean. The windows are clean. The doors are clean. Everything's clean. It keeps our church beautiful. I think the last thing I read, in 7 seconds, they've made a first impression. And that starts from the outside, and I think our church looks pretty amazing because of the yard team that we have and the people that take care of the outside of this church and the inside. Those things are important. It's an expression of love and of a good pride in this building, okay? And it also shows love to Larry, that he doesn't have to worry that he still has slots that he needs to fill. Right? So it's an expression of love that Larry, I know you have a few slots that are left open. I'm going to help fill that one slot. Maybe it's for a month. Maybe it's for 6 months, whatever it is. But it's a way of blessing Larry so he doesn't have to worry about it. Right? Or you think of our nursery. It's a blessing to Lori Marks if she doesn't have to constantly ask people to fill in or to sign up. If there's people that just come along and say, Lori, I'm going to fill in. That's showing love to our kids that attend this church, love to their parents, but love also to Lori that she doesn't have to beg people. It's expressing love and caring that she doesn't have to stress out about that. You think of Joe Henderson has a lot on his plate right now with his dad, right, battling cancer and with the situation in their home with the girls. There's a lot there. But he, out of a sense of calling, has taken over this new ministry of our safety and security team, and he's trying to build that. But he's got these other things. It's an expression of love to have a people that are willing to watch our church to make sure it's safe, that it's secure during services and other times. But it's also an expression of love towards Joe, because now he doesn't have to worry again about not having somebody here. And that goes for anything. Our care ministry. This is a huge thing on my heart. I know it's on Helen Harrison's heart right now. She is the only person right now that's heading up care ministry. That's a huge, huge, huge commitment and a lot of responsibility. And she's doing an awesome job. But she needs a co-leader to come alongside her and help. She's going to have surgery, I think, in February maybe, for knee replacement, I believe. And she's going to be out of commission. Someone needs to step up. And care ministry obviously is showing love to people, love to people that can't leave their homes or in the hospital or whatever. But it's also showing love to Helen, when we step up and we say, Helen, I'm going to come alongside you. Maybe it's only while you're in the hospital or recovering, but I will step in and help run this program until you've recovered. And then I'll help you even after that, but it's expressing love to her. And anything else, any other kind of volunteer thing that we have at church. Because when we're doing things together, we're better together. We're better when we're helping each other. We're stronger. And the basis for all influence in our lives, it doesn't come from strategies and methods and all this kind of stuff, and those things aren't bad. But the basis of influence comes on the basis of ministry, of being involved, of putting your gifts that God's given you into use, into practice. That's the basis of every great church. Men and women who step up and allow God to use them and use their gifts that He's given them for the glory of the kingdom and to help people. It's not having a great website. It's not having a great location. It's not having a great building. It's not having a great marketing plan or strategy. And all those things are good, right? We should be praying for those things at times. Those things aren't bad. But the foundation for a great church is people, the people. Loving and caring and encouraging one another, being there for each other. When people walk into Pebble Creek, I've always felt this way, that there is an atmosphere, it's like an atmosphere of grace and love. And that's the way it needs to stay. Right? It's not an atmosphere of judgmentalism or anything else. It's an atmosphere that you feel welcomed here. This is a welcoming family. We're not excluding anybody. We're making people feel welcome and at home when they come in here. So trusting God. Let's go back. So those are the four things. If you just focus on those four things in 2019, what a year you're going to have. What a year your family's going to have. Your marriage, your kids, Pebble Creek, or the church that you happen to go to, wherever it might be. If you focus on prayer, you focus on reading the Word more in 2019, you focus on being available and coming to church, and you focus on serving, you're going to be blessed. And I go back to this prayer in 3 John verse 2. And why don't we all stand? This will be our closing prayer. Do I have 3 John 2? Is that the last slide up there? Okay. This is our prayer. This is my prayer. I'm praying this in 2019 for me, my family, and for this church. And I encourage you, make this your prayer too. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Let's say that together. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, I don't usually do this, and I see this on TV a lot, but I want you to your neighbor, say, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Just say that to whoever's next. You can do it. You can do it. I'm on your knee. Now, the key is, do you mean it? Or are you just saying it? That is a prayer. Are you in agreement? Are you in agreement? Are we unified in believing that? And then not just believing it, but putting action behind what we say we believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together this morning. I believe these are people, Lord, as we go into 2019. They're going to focus again on the fundamentals. They're going to be the best at the fundamentals. All the other things, they'll come along as needed, but let's focus on prayer, Lord. May 2019 be a year, Lord, that we focus on you in prayer and spend more time with you than we ever have in our lives. May 2019 be a time when we spend more time in the Word than we've ever spent before. May 2019 be a time that we spend at church and being involved in church and ministering at church more than we have. Lord, and I believe if we focus on those things like your Word has promised, all the other things we worry about, money, and clothes and food and paying our bills, all that will be taken care of if we focus on the things that you want us to focus on. I pray, God, help us to be that. Help us to prosper, to be successful. Lord, help us to be fruitful for the kingdom, for the glory of Jesus Christ in 2019. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.